From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, ETs, 82 different species. That's what the guest says. Stand by for that. Here's what's happening. Oh, boy, it just doesn't end. Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer called for President Donald Trump's removal a day after a mob spurred by the president overran the Capitol as lawmakers tallied President-elect Joe Biden's presidential win. This is what Schumer says. What happened at the U.S. Capitol yesterday was an insurrection against the United States incited by the president. The president should not hold office one day longer, says the New York senator. Who knows? Facebook is blocking President Trump indefinitely after Capitol riot response. The Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, said the President Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts will be blocked indefinitely and for at least the next 2 weeks before Inauguration Day. So things are really happening on the social network life. Nearly two dozen Americans have experienced life-threatening allergic reactions after receiving Pfizer-BioNTech's coronavirus vaccine, according to a new report. Between December 14th and the 23rd, a total of 21 people suffered from this shock, allergic shock, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Calls to mental health helplines and prescriptions for antidepressants have reached an all-time high, while access to potentially life-saving talking therapies has plunged during the coronavirus pandemic. Dr. Peter Breggin, our resident psychiatrist, of course, with his book, Medication Madness. Peter, people are really depressed, but medication's not the answer, is it?
No, you know, and George, I haven't talked enough about medicines. I haven't emphasized them myself enough lately, because we really know that the antidepressants don't work. The scientific evidence for them, compared to, say, just taking a sugar pill, is they really don't work. And they have terrible adverse effects. They increase the suicide, make us feel worse. They cause a lot of psych hospitalizations where people get panic on the drugs. They mess up sex and love life, and some people have trouble recovering afterward. And, George, even when people feel better, they're often being deceived because these drugs blunt your emotions. That's the odd good feeling that you might get. It's that you're actually feeling less. And, of course, that can be a relief. We all know that. But it isn't really good for us. It makes us actually more isolated from loved ones than we were. It makes us less able to go out and job on and deal with the things that we may need to do. And then if we try to come off them, they really cause withdrawal reactions, the antidepressants and the anti-anxiety drugs. And then we think, oh, we're really sick, we need the drugs, when we really need to come off the meds. And I've written about that, you know, almost never mentioned my books, and thanks for mentioning Medication Madness.
Mm-hmm.
That has a chapter in it on withdrawing from the drugs, and I've got a couple of other books, including one simply called Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, that deal with these things. But what we really need is not to go to the drugs. Don't make the drug companies richer. The wrong people are all getting richer, and the rest of us are getting poorer.
Well, what would you say, though? A patient comes to you, they're all uptight over COVID, they're, you know, got anxiety up the gazoo. What do you do for them?
Well, the first thing I try to help them find is, what can they do to get closer to friends and family? Many of us, Ginger and I, we've actually gotten closer to our family who live far away from us, who we might get to see once a year if we were lucky. And we can be on the phone with them every week now. We can be on the phone with them every day if we want to, and we can do it with one form or another of a video at the same time, on the phone or on Skype. And so reach out more to the people that you love. Make new friends. We've made new friends through various ways. But another thing is that, you know, most of us are stuck at home with people, other people. Learn to treasure the people around you. Instead of letting COVID and the government's handling of it, the drug companies get you down, say, no more of that. I'm going to treasure what I have And the biggest treasure, you know, on earth is a belief in God and a belief in people around you to love.
Okay. And if you're alone, if you happen to be alone, all you got to do is listen to Coast to Coast. A Harvard University professor is making the case that we are likely not alone in the universe. Astronomer Avi Loeb's new book, Extraterrestrial, examines the 2017 flyby of a space object that he believes was truly out of this world. The cigar-shaped object seen by telescopes in Hawaiian means messenger that reaches out from the distant past, Oumuamua. That's its name. It is 10 times as long as it is wide and traveling at speeds of almost 200,000 miles an hour, according to researchers. Kevin Randall, of course, checks into UFOs for us. And what do you have for us this week, Kev?
Hey, George, how's it going?
I'm okay, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. First, just a brief visit back to a couple of past programs. Jerome Clark directed me to an entry in his massive UFO encyclopedia. Back in 1951 or 52, a witness who was described as serving with the U.S. Army talked of an abduction with a trip into outer space. I'm not sure I'm on board with the case, but the point here is that he described the alien eyes by saying, you could see lots of little eyes in the two big eyes. It seemed to me they looked like the eyes of a fly, end quote. The description of the eyes fits with the description we talked about with a couple who made a sighting in New Mexico in 2017. And I've got more about that earlier sighting on my blog. Second, someone pointed out the Belt Montana and the Malmstrom Air Force Base sightings were more than a half century old. Surely the problem with national security would have been resolved by now. I say we still see it. Area 51 was exposed by UFO investigations surrounding Bob Lazar and his claims of UFOs housed there. This reinforces the idea that national security is one of the driving forces that is the reason that we still find UFO information suppressed and the government's continual denial that there is anything to UFO reports. And then you've kind of preempted me here, because I would say the big news this week is a Harvard professor.
You can say more. You can pronounce it better than me, the name of that thing.
He's the chairman of the Department of Astronomy at Harvard, and he suggested we were visited in 2017. In my communications with him, I asked a number of questions, such as where it might have originated. He told me that it came from the direction of Vega, which is about 25 light years from Earth. On September 6, 2017, the artifact crossed the orbital plane of the solar system, and on September 9th, it made its closest approach to the sun. And then on October 7th, it passed Earth, moving in the direction of Pegasus. As you mentioned, the Earth-based scientists were able to study it somewhat, and they discovered it was about 300 feet in diameter and had somewhat of a cigar shape and was rotating slowly. Can't say rotating tonight for some reason. Huh.
But you could say the name of the object, I bet.
I think... Give it a try. I'll give it a shot. Oumuamua, which means scout in Hawaiian. It was at first believed to be a comet, but it exhibited none of the characteristics of a comet, and that suggested to Dr. Loeb that there was something completely different. Nearly all the scientists agree the object did not originate in the solar system, which makes it the first alien object to be observed in our solar system. Dr. Loeb believes that it's an artificial object, but many of the scientists disagree. The Nature article published in July 2019 concluded, we find no compelling evidence to favor an alien explanation for Oumuamua. I, on the other hand, am rooting for Dr. Loeb's explanation, but note here that the object is certainly alien, but not necessarily artificial. That kind of wraps it up for this week, George.
And isn't, Kevin, that Vega star system was highlighted in the movie Contact, where the ETs came from?
Yes. I thought of that, too, and I thought about bringing that in. Carl Sagan was responsible for that, and, he mentioned Vega as the point of origin for the aliens in Contact.
Super. Kevin, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much. Up next, the mundane astrologer joins us, Mark Lerner. What's in store for 2021? He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Our special guest tonight, Mark Lerner. Mark graduated from Michigan State University, as my sisters did, with honors with a BA in social science. In 1972, he completed an intensive one-year training course in professional astrology and that started his career. Hearing how they summoned after dimensions to grow thriving gardens in the barren soils of northern Scotland, Mark joined the Findham community back in 1976. Settling back in the U.S. in 1980, he eventually published Welcome to Planet Earth Journal and reached thousands of astrological students. And here he is now back on Coast to Coast. Lots to talk with you about tonight, Mark. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, George.
Looking forward to a great 2021, sir?
Hopefully. Yes.
Let's hope so.
Right. We're in the new year.
So we call you the mundane astrologer. What does that mean?
Well, that word now has sort of changed, but to people in my field, it's basically Earth astrology. It's the area of astrology focusing on new moons, full moons, eclipses, major world leaders, major planetary alignments in the sky, the start of the seasons, equinoxes, solstices, those kind of things.
And the word mundane, though, kind of sounds like ho-hum. It's really not, is it?
No, and that's what I mean, is that word has sort of shifted, as a lot of words do shift over the course of time. Political astrology is sort of one of the names, and a number of great teachers that I've had, Charles Carter from England and many others, that's sort of the other word for mundane astrology, but because of all the contentiousness now, you know, to say things political astrology, people might get turned off. But that is not the original name. It's really mundane, or let's just say earth or world astrology. But my main practice for 47 years has been doing thousands of charts for people all over the world, and then at the same time, once that started 72, 73 in New York City, and then eventually in 1981, as you were talking about, Welcome to Planet Earth for 20 years, that magazine, many great astrologers who were also like myself focused on world or earth astrology all contributed. And the other thing is the big cosmic calendar, which I'm still doing 39 years later. We now have an app for iOS and Android. It's called Astrology, Cosmic, and Calendar, beginning with the letter K. And that's free one day at a time. And as you often mentioned for Coast Insiders, pennies a day if people subscribe.
Well, now, what does the icon look like in their app store so people know where it is?
Now, that, quite frankly, you got me there because it's my daughter who has created all of that. The icon
okay.
is, but I can tell you, if you go into, you know, the app store and you start with astrology, then put the second word cosmic, and then calendar is interesting. People might say, why are you using a K? Well, the original word for calendar with the C goes back 2,000 years, back to ancient Rome, called the calends, when there would be a tribune in the middle of town announcing the events for that month. So our word calendar with the C actually goes back to a K. So astrology, cosmic calendar, and you got me on the icon. I'll look there myself.
Look at it during the break and tell us what it is after the break.
Okay, sure.
The big astronomy story over the last couple weeks was the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn. Astrologically, what does that mean?
Well, Jupiter and Saturn have been watched by magi, astronomer, astrologers going way back. I mean, we have records all the way back to 700 BC. So Jupiter and Saturn, they come together every 20 years approximately. And what had been happening from 1842 through 2000, except for an anomalous period in 1980-81, Jupiter and Saturn were joining together in the Earth signs. And then we just finally had, which began on December 21 at the winter solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere, Jupiter and Saturn merged together in Aquarius, which is an air sign. And that's starting what we call a mutational cycle in the air elements. So we've got Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, and this will kind of repeat for about 180 years. And that's part of the shift from kind of a more materialistic way of looking at life from the 1840s through 20 years ago and over the last 20 years. And now we're moving into more of the virtual universe, the mind universe, all of these advances that are coming so rapidly.
Mark, why does astrology have so much impact on events and our lives?
Well, this goes back to the ancient axiom, as above, so below. What's true in the greater universe is reflected in truth in the smaller universe. So there, fundamentally, and I've said this before on the show, Carl Jung, the great Swiss psychotherapist, mm-hmm. actually studied astrology as well as UFOs, mandalas, so many other things, And he studied the marriage charts for hundreds of people. And he's the person who said, whatever or whoever is born at a moment of time has the qualities of that moment of time. We tend to think of time as, for instance, Mark Lerner on Coast to Coast at 10 to midnight on January 7th. So that gives us an idea if we're going to meet somebody, we're going to go to a cafe, we're going to talk to somebody. But what Carl Jung was talking about, there's a power because of the sun, moon, the planets, the asteroids, and each one of us has that chart, which is basically our link to the cosmos. And then we have what are called transits and progressions, these cycles that keep going on that then cause things or help us to change who we are, what we're doing, give us opportunities and challenges.
It's amazing that it just seems to fit like a puzzle. And are things changeable? I mean, they are what they are astrologically, but can the events change?
Well, this is the big thing that I've worked with my whole life and from the great teachers and so many other people who are on Welcome to Planet Earth and people who are doing this around the planet who are well-trained, is that traditionally, for instance, in the field of astrology, Venus and Jupiter were always considered the good guys, kind of in the cowboy movies. They'd be wearing them white hats, and Mars and Saturn were wearing the black hats to be the evildoers, so to speak, the bad guys. But that's not necessarily true. Mars and Saturn have sterling qualities if a person, through their own free will, their intuition, their growth, their evolution. I do believe in reincarnation, so I do believe we've lived before, that we're souls and spirits, and that our charts are reflecting kind of the qualities of things through evolution. It's a very complex thing to try and explain, but I do believe in every person's chart, one can begin to diagnose who you've been, kind of your background energies, what you bring in a particular lifetime, your skill sets, and hopefully it isn't just fate. That's the big thing. Just because you're born at a certain time with certain planets, sun, moon, and so on, doesn't mean you read in some books, oh, that's a bad sign or a good sign. There is no such thing in real astrology of good and bad. Everything is a gradation of how well you can use a planet or an alignment or the whole chart.
Well, that's important. What's your website these days, Mark?
Yeah, it's www.greatbear, like the animal, enterprises with an S.com.
Super. So we've been through a horrendous period with COVID. We still are. Your take on that astrologically?
Okay, I've done, fortunately, thanks to my daughter, 71 podcasts since May of 2019. And I did 13 of them not so long ago on coronavirus and astrology, doing the chart for China when this thing first came out, set out the chart for the World Health Organization, the CDC, and so on. But one of the things I've found, which is fantastic, you just asked me about Jupiter-Saturn cycles. So it turns out that if we go back to the 1340s, when there was the bubonic plague, Black Plague in Europe, which killed, I think, 50 to 100 million people or more, the astrology that is actually happening now with Jupiter and Saturn in Aquarius, I mean, we have our hands full with this pandemic, and we've been warned for years with Ebola and SARS and MERS and so many other things. It was inevitable that one of these things would happen, and unfortunately, the world has been unprepared. So we do have to be concerned because the air dimension, in other words, Jupiter and Saturn, for instance, 20 years from now, Jupiter and Saturn will be in Libra, another air sign. 20 years after that, they'll be in Gemini, and 60 years from now, they'll be back in Aquarius. So every time these two big planets come together, they're going to be inspiring us with ideas and inventions. At the same time, air is how we share all this through things like pneumonia and breathing the same air. We have to protect ourselves.
Mark, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Mark Lerner is our special guest. And you have been doing this now, like you said, over what, 40-some years?
47 and a half years.
My God. Did you ever imagine that you'd be doing this long?
Well, my parents wanted me to be a doctor. That didn't last very long. Six weeks at Michigan State, and then I changed.
Huh. My dad wanted me to become a dentist. 2 years at the University of Detroit, and I changed.
Well, I think you and I are in the same ballpark.
Yep. Did they get upset with you when you switched your majors?
My dad had me go to, if I could say this quickly, to Roosevelt Hospital, New York, because he thought I was out of my mind. And the I went for two.
Oh, my gosh.
And the psychiatrist told my dad, you've got a pretty smart kid here, and he's going to do this, so you need to get used to it. But my dad and I got along really well eventually.
Yeah, that happened with me, too. I didn't go see a psychiatrist. He just didn't talk to me for a couple months. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your calls with the astrologer, Mark Lerner. If you want something personal, he needs your date of birth, your month, day, and year. So we'll be lining you up towards the end of this hour, but we'll take calls next hour. And if you have just general questions, go ahead and do it. Hey, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, astrologer Mark Lerner, one of our favorite guests. Mark, did you have a chance to look at the icon for your app?
Yes, I did. And I should have remembered this because I have two logos. It's a full moon with the seven stars of the Great Bear constellation, which we call the Big Dipper, and with an actual bear.
Super. So okay.
A bear, seven stars in gold, and it will say Great Bear on there.
That'll tip us off. And what's the name of the app again?
Astrology Cosmic Calendar, three words, with calendar beginning with a K.
Okay, great. And that sounds like fun. People can plug in their information and out comes astrological things, huh?
There's plenty of stuff on there, and there's also, I work a lot with the concept and the energy of World Goodwill, which is actually an organization that, before I went to Findhorn in Scotland, I was at an organization, one of their services is to create goodwill, and I believe that astrology, used correctly, balancing free will and fate and everything we've learned about it, particularly with the software now and all the advances, can enhance goodwill and peace and love around the planet.
Before we get into your thoughts about 2021 and the future, let me ask you about Mercury again and Mercury in retrograde. It's about to happen at the end of this month. What does that exactly mean, Mercury is in retrograde?
Well, one of the big things, and one of my podcasts, by the way, number 25, The Truth About Mercury Retrograde, that's part of Welcome Planet Earth from years ago. The United States, July 4th, 1776, that's the main chart for our country for the Declaration of Independence. Guess what? Mercury happened to be in reverse or retrograde. The New York Times, that our president loves to say is the failing New York Times, started in 1851 with Mercury retrograde. It's actually an allusion to, first of all, planets don't go retrograde from the sun's standpoint, but because astronomically we're 93 million miles away, we tend to see that certain planets appear every so often to slow down, make what we call a station or a stoppage in the heavens, and then make a halt there for usually a day or a couple of days. Then they go in reverse or retrograde. Then they'll slow down again, stop, and go forward.
But that's just an illusion?
Well, it's an illusion from the sun standpoint. And believe it or not, George, not to make this more complicated, there is a heliocentric version of astrology. It's not used very much, because we live on the Earth, and this is who we are, so we see everything from our vantage point. To give you an example, you know when you're in a train station, you're on one track, and let's say your train starts going, and then there's another train parallel to yours, and they move in the same direction.
And the wheels look like they're spinning backwards.
Right. They're going in the same direction you are, but you're faster, and it looks actually, it's like an optical illusion. It's like, wait a minute, you kind of know that it's going your way, but it's going the other direction
right at
the same time. That's kind of the idea here. However, in our world, because Mercury does this far more than the other planets, Jupiter will go retrograde 4 months out of every year. Saturn and the outer planets go retrograde almost half the year. And you never hear somebody saying, oh, my God, Neptune is going retrograde for 5 months. What am I going to do? So it's really a kind of a thought form, and it's captured the world so that people think messages are lost, luggage is lost, I shouldn't sign contracts. The point is, every day of our lives, when Mercury's going forward, which is most of the time, about 84% of the time, people are making mistakes, there are communication problems all the time, and nobody's blaming Mercury going direct, but it happens all the time. So Mercury retrograde is really, let's review, reflect, and reevaluate our communications, our business, and our health. But it is not a bad energy.
Mercury's an interesting planet. It's so close to the sun, and it's just kind of a weird planet, and it's kind of like a warring planet, isn't it? Like Mars is.
Well, kind of like our moon, which is our Earth satellite. Mercury tends to show one face to the sun, and there's some interesting astronomy where you start reading, because I've loved astronomy since I was a little kid in a balance to astrology, and the far side of Mercury, in other words, that doesn't show its face to the sun, even though it's 36 million miles and much closer, is extremely cold there, because it's like one half of Mercury is going facing the sun all the time. So the other side of Mercury is kind of like the far side of the moon where the Chinese have launched some spacecraft recently.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. I want to say one thing. We don't have to necessarily get into the whole chart for the inauguration, but I do want to mention that we're going to have the first woman vice president ever, and which will start on January 20th. I mean, we think that's where we're finally going here. And there is an enormous amount of energy at the inauguration and over the next couple years for our country and the world to sort of join much of the rest of the world that has had women presidents and prime ministers. Of course, there have been queens and princesses over the course of time with monarchies and things like that. But America has not been able to get on this page, and we just had the 100th anniversary of women having the right to vote this past summer when both of those conventions were happening. And so I think it's going to be beyond the older Joe Biden figure that he finally somehow got in there. We're going to have Kamala Harris, and that's going to be a big story now that Georgia runoffs are going to give her an enormous influence in the Senate.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good point. And, you know, let's all get behind them and pray that things work out and our country moves ahead again.
Well, that's part of that Jupiter Saturn you brought up, because even though Jupiter in mythology has been considered, whether you think of it as Jupiter or Zeus, Jove, different names, different cultures, Jupiter is a father figure, but a kind of kindly father figure most of the time, whereas Saturn is more on the sterner side of things. So even within this conjunction of these two largest planets, in astrology, they are the planets that relate a lot to career and profession, kind of the movers and shakers in the solar system, because they're both far bigger than the other planets. And so they're very powerful. But even at this inauguration, the sun will be with a smaller body. You know, we've talked about Chiron, which is a little centaur type of body. It's been known since 1977. Well, it turns out Chiron has a companion, and it's called Chiriclo. And Chiriclo is a healing force, just like Chiron can be. Chiron has a lot of meanings, but the feminine part of that is Chiriclo. And at the inauguration, when the sun is in Aquarius, right where Jupiter and Saturn just met, there'll be this centaur-like body. And that's part of this feminine energy, because Chiriclo is the companion to Chiron. And then also Venus is very prominent. The main feminine body in the solar system will be making what's called a trine, or triangular harmonious link to the horizon, when that inauguration happens. There's what we call a void moon. This is another thing. It happened at the JFK inauguration. It happened at Franklin Roosevelt's fourth inauguration, at Nixon's second inauguration, at Bill Clinton's second inauguration, and even Barack Obama's first inauguration. It's when the moon is going through a sign, and then it stops making the traditional alignments that astrologers call based on Ptolemy, like conjunctions of planets or oppositions or triangular links. So we're going to have this phenomenon of a void moon when the oath happens, and that sort of opens up a whole bag of tricks of unknown forces coming in. It doesn't happen at every inauguration.
Let's look at 2021 for a while before I ask you some specific questions, but give me your overview of the year we're now in.
Well, you know, what is interesting this year, it's not as though in some years we get gigantic conjunctions beyond Jupiter and Saturn, which is rare, and they just did come together. And they'll be sort of moving together in general. Jupiter will actually move into one of its older ruling signs, which it still rules as Pisces. So Jupiter will kind of rapidly move through Aquarius, go into Pisces in the spring, and then go retrograde. So Jupiter, as I said, like Mercury, it'll go retrograde for a couple months, go back into Aquarius. Now, one of the things about this Jupiter and Saturn in the Aquarius and Jupiter and Pisces, this is what happened in 1962, which is 59 years ago. That's another one of these sort of Jupiter-Saturn 59 to 60-year cycles. And what was 1962? That started a total solar eclipse in February in Aquarius that in India they thought the world was ending. And what happened in October of 62? The Cuban Missile Crisis. So there are these kind of things that I look at, and I'm sure other astrologers in my field, where we do tend to kind of worry. We're looking forward to being out of 2020. But the other big alignment this year is not just Jupiter and Saturn together. It's that Saturn is in what we call a square with Uranus, the planet that we didn't know in the 1770s, 1780s, during the American Revolution. The world of astronomy and the sky was that Saturn was the furthest away planet. The stars were called fixed. We now know they move, but they move very slowly because they're very far away. And then suddenly in 1781 in March, Uranus is discovered, ironically, in England. And by October, America has won this war that nobody would have anticipated they had would ever win. So now those two planets, Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus, has been in Taurus, which is a money sign. We've had all these changes, as you know, like Bitcoin right mm-hmm. now. Where's that all going suddenly, you know, shot out of a cannon?
Oh, it's going crazy right now, isn't it?
That's part of the, to me, we've been what I call the Wild West of these cryptocurrencies the last 10 or 11 years since it started, because the world of banking and real estate and things that are tangible, even now, how is it possible that Bitcoin would go from, like, I think in March it went down to 5,000. Now it's like 40,000. Meanwhile, gold still can't get to $2,000 after 10 years. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Silver, you know, was supposed to go like $80.
Oh, you would think it would explode, yeah.
Right. So that brings up all these other issues. By the way, somebody asked me, because they were listening to a Coast show recently, I guess you had a guest who was talking about this asteroid in 2029. I guess that comes up, you know, could come to
that comes up a lot, yeah.
Well, guess what? I just happened to look into 2029 because it's 100 years since 1929. And I want to see if 100 years later from the stock market crash, whether I'd find anything in late October of 2029. And basically, George, I shouldn't really have looked, because it suddenly is like, oh my gosh, Halloween, October 30th, 31, 2029. And this is not about that asteroid. It's more like there will be financial type of issues. That's already, what, 8.5 years from now. That's way down the road.
It'll come up faster than you think, Mark.
Well, because Saturn in Aquarius, this is the oddity. Uranus right now is in a financial sign, which we can consider a fixed Earth sign. And it's been in there for a number of years. And this is part of this whole, the sluggishness of things like silver and gold and commodities. And at the same time, that this universe of cryptocurrencies is ready to explode. Now, Jupiter and Saturn suddenly go into this air sign. They start making squares or right angles to Uranus. And suddenly we have this tension that's exploding. Where's the stock market going? Where's gold and silver? And where are these cryptocurrencies? Because we've got a lot of autocracies around the planet. Our own country has been going through this whole kind of death and rebirth. And that's the other thing. Based on the U.S. birth chart from July 4th, 1776, the next 2 years are very challenging. What we've been seeing in America, not merely the pandemic, which is so tragic and difficult for everybody, but this split in the country. Okay, so without getting into the politics, Neptune is going to go opposite where it was from 1776. This coming year in 2021, that can be an illumination or a kind of skitsy pulling apart. So Neptune is doing one thing that takes us back to the 1850s, just before the Civil War, and doing some other things. And then the year after that, Pluto comes back, where it has never done that after 247 years. And Pluto is the traditional planet of the underworld, of death and rebirth, of transformation and metamorphosis. That's where we're all going. But there are plenty of things every year. We have full moons that can be very illuminating, particularly the ones in March, April, and May. They're esoterically considered the high point of the year. They're called the Shambhala Festival, the Buddha and Waisak Festival, and the Festival of Humanity, when the full moon is in Aries and Libra, and then Taurus and Scorpio, and Gemini and Sagittarius. That's coming up soon. And also the vernal equinox, which is March 20th, the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. That looks very promising, at least for the United States, or at least a door that's opening that could be auspicious.
Mark, let me ask you about China in 2021. Part of me still thinks they're going to make a move to try to take over Taiwan. Anything astrologically you see there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I look at, for instance, Xi's chart. What's been interesting the last several years is the president, our president, he's born June 14th. Now, it's interesting because while he would be out of power, he wants to run again. And Saturn and Uranus are going to make three squares. One is going to be in February, but the second one will be right on his birthday, which is what we call kind of a solar return, June 14th. These two planets will be clashing. Now, the day after that is Xi's birthday, June 15th. He was born 1953, like
the president of China.
Yeah. He's a sun sign Gemini. That's part of the reason they sort of got along, because, you know, that he would just like meeting with Kim or meeting with Putin. The interesting thing with all of those charts with those people, while it isn't a traditional way that presidents will relate to these leaders, because it's more of a kind of, I mean, we have had summits, of course, you know, Reagan, Gorbachev, and all that. We've had that for decades. But these private kind of things that our recent president has done, which is totally out of the ordinary, when you actually look at the chart for President Xi and you look at Donald Trump's chart, or you look at Putin and Trump, they have a lot of connections, which is why they would, if they weren't presidents or leaders, they would be kind of buddies. So that's the interesting thing in astrology. You can see through some of these things. I'm not saying that kind of way of negotiating is good for the United States necessarily. I actually don't think it's that great, but it explains why they get along.
But do you see anything with Taiwan and China?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, what we see this stuff with Hong Kong and what just happened in the Capitol the other day. I mean, when the world sees what that is, regardless of whether the rightness or wrongness of the whole situation, what's been happening, that is a very dreadful thing because from one standpoint, this is what Russia would want, so that we're distracted, right, with our own problems. Then they go in with Taiwan and so on. They're always ready to go do that. But, you know, look at what they did with Hong Kong. It was very slow. They took a lot of time.
Well, the virus got rid of the Hong Kong demonstrators.
That, and then they sort of started with a heavier hand. But, you know, Taiwan is different. You know, I think that would, relative to an administration coming in, unless they were to do something really soon, and I don't think they would do that. So I tend to be more conservative. The one thing we will watch are, we can look at the chart for what's called astrolocality. Just like if we have a birth time for a world leader, then we can plot what their alignments are in other parts of the world, how they are more positive or negative. We could look at Biden's chart or Kamala Harris, whoever it is, and move their charts or the U.S. chart to that part of the world and keep an eye on it. But right now, I know there's a fear of that, but look, we almost got into a hot war with Iran a year ago, exactly this time.
Well, and that's not over yet either, Mark. We'll talk a little bit more, but we're taking calls with you next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Mark needs your birth month, day, and year.